Good morning, listening audience. My name is Marvell. I am the host of the One Gone Words of Wisdom show, welcoming you to participate or to listen to our broadcast. It is at this time that I'd like to do some housekeeping. One issue that has been plaguing us is people calling in and not being able to get connected. Things that have been shared with us is that it depends upon your network, and the podcast, which is secured for a fee, has nothing to do with one's ability to get in without being charged something like a penny a minute. And this is all brand new. We've been doing this for a while, and Tim has been doing this for years, and this is the first time we've experienced this sort of obstacle in our having a communication with our listeners. So if you have Metro, there's a procedure that you are urged to follow to secure your ability to speak or to call in. And I'm thinking that details of that, because Tim is doing all the research. He's been diligently going to places, changing systems, talking to executives, getting okays, saying everything is all right, and then when he tries to use the system, it goes back to that non-compliance. So bear with us as we work through whatever it is that's stopping us from being able to have free communication as we once did. Meanwhile,
Grand Rise.
Hey, bro, how you doing?
Bless, my brother.
Right on. So I guess you, for those who don't know, I'll introduce this is one of our avid supporters for the cause. His name is Mark the Disciple. He's on the line. I didn't mention the subject matter that we want to start with. Is something that it never really occurred to me seriously. Yet, what if a tragedy like a fire to a community business owner occurs? What would be the community's response to help that business recoup? Especially if it's a business that people depend upon. You may have outstanding contracts that need to be fulfilled, and even if they have insurance, the turnaround time there might be a stall in the turnaround time for a payout, and in the meantime, that company who has contracts to fulfill responsible to fulfill those contracts. So the question is, does the community have a responsibility to assist once that business owner lets it be known that they're going to get a settlement because they had insurance, but in the meantime, they need to have support to complete the contracts and meet the deadlines that existed before the fire? So it's just kind of one of those, something that never really occurred to me to think about. But now, in a circumstance like this, it seems like there should be some things in place, which I've heard in this case, we're talking about a particular case, there are some things in place that were designed to respond to such events. But the report is that the business owner is not getting any traction or response from these in-place organizations. So just kind of one of them things to ask, what is the community's response? I ain't going to say responsibility, because the responsibility implies that it's something automatic that you should do. But what do you think the community's response to such an event should be? And I'll give you some framework, because I've never talked about it or thought about it, but now that we have it on the floor, it seems like the framework would be that we as a community could at the least make calls to these organizations that are designed to respond to this, or put it on blast on the news, or just let it be known that while this thing is pending, the settlement is pending, people are not getting their service. Maybe that might be a good beginning, and then it might be something legal. It might be something more, some sort of method of approach. We'll open it up to see, because that's become a concern right now.
I've witnessed tragedies like this in the past, growing up in the 60s, and I've heard how people handled situations like this in the past. We had communities once, and we worked together in unity once. And I go back to that same old adage that I always say, it takes love. We have to love one another. Everybody would come together, and they would have what they call a barn raising. You know, if a farmer's barn, neighbor's barn burnt down, people would get together and raise up another barn. And so many would be out there. It didn't take a week to do it. And with progress, we've come away from all these abilities to do certain things. We came away from the ability to have responsibility, to be dependable, to help someone. We don't care less. We care less about anyone now. Oh, that's his problem, ain't mine. I'm sure he got insurance. Sure, insurance will cover a small portion, but what happens to the progress that he's made and the people, the orders that he has in progress at that time? You know, so there should be certain entities in place to help a person out, especially someone that has done a great deal of work for the community, help the community. So that's why it's important that we rebuild a community and we can set things aside, set funds aside for certain situations such as this. Have other people that are doing the same thing. Man, come on in here, man. I got you, man. I'm just to help you push all this out right now. You know, this is what a community does. We are helpers one to another. And love is the key to unlock all these abilities that we possess. Because there are a lot of people out there that are doing the same thing. And most of them, they're probably, you know, cheering at his demise so that they can increase theirs. So, I mean, it's kind of sad. It's kind of sad. We got to come together. We got to do better as a people. Because other than that, we're no different from the oppressor. You know, there's a lot of people out there, they'll smile in your face, but all the time they want to take your place. Backstabbers. So, I'm just saying that we got to do better. And, Tim, I want you to play a song for me today. And that song is by the Isley Brothers, Fight the Power. I digress.
Yeah, the mentioning and the revisioning of how community used to work is very germane to this issue right now. The only distinction I see is that back then it was, aside from material, thing was labor intensive. Talk about people getting together and building. In this case, it's more of a monetary kind of support system, because rebuilding a burnt building with equipment that's been damaged and materials that have been, you know, that perished in it that are needed to fulfill whatever, that's a little more distinctive. However, the sentiment and the spirit of the community, I don't think should get lost just because we're not coming together with hammers and nails to rebuild something. I think it still should be a consideration of the community to demonstrate somehow. And that, I guess, we can delve into that. Moreover, I think if we're lucky and what our obstacle, the principal was supposed to call in to give us a little bit more detailed description of what's going on and what his situation is. So hopefully that will occur so that we can dissect this thing or trisect it or find, you know, details that will help us understand from this, not just from this incident, but from this point on, what it is that we as a community, well, I keep saying community. Some people say we don't have communities because we don't have a financial base. So we're the neighborhoods get together and start pouring in some way to make it clear that the loss is not just his. We lose as well.
Well, the BBOA is planning, is right now, is in the progress of starting up a fundraiser to help him offset some of the costs. And so I welcome anyone that's willing and able to donate to this cause, because it's greatly needed, because there'll be others have maybe not the same situation happen, but have other problems with financial help or needing to get equipment, and maybe we can help put together a fundraiser for them. So it's very important that we all pitch in and do what we can. And that's what I was saying about progress. Progress causes a problem like this to be, a big deal. It causes it to be a big deal because, as you were saying, you know, purchasing equipment and rebuilding or finding a new location, it's tough these days. It's not an easy task. Like I say, I invite other organizations to pitch in and do what they can to help a brother in need, because we are our brother's keepers, unless we want to just fall by the wayside and be slaves to the oppressor forever. I digress.
Okay, so you said an acronym which was BBOA, for the listening audience that might not know what that is. Could you give a little brief
yes,
presentation of what the BBOA is and what it stands,
yes,
for?
Yes, the BBOA stands for Black Business Owners Association, and also entrepreneurs. We welcome entrepreneurs. And anyone can join. We do pay dues, and those dues are to help us to create fundraisers, to create programs that will help these children out here, to help us to mentor these children out here, to help us put on different activities for these children out here, because we understand how hard it is for a single parent to raise a child. We understand how hard it is for children to get to different programs and stuff like that. So we're trying to build something that will help everyone. And we invite everyone to take part, not only in the BBOA, but other organizations here around town. There are a lot of organizations around town that's trying to help families and children out here in need.
Right on. So you mentioned that they're doing a fundraiser, which is commendable. When I say, I don't want to say they, I'll say we, because I'm also a member of the Black Business Owners Association. And I may add that the Black Business Owners Association's one of the main focuses of that organization is to be what they call autonomous, meaning self-governed and self-supporting, and not looking for grants, not looking for loans, not looking for anything but the goodness of one's endorsement if they want to donate or if they want to support on their own without any strings or restrictions. That's the thrust of the BBOA, is to make sure that we remain free from those appendages, right? So it's very commendable. This is the first I heard about the fundraiser, and I'm pleased to hear that. It kind of warms me to hear that that effort is being made. And then also, there is in the African Market, 2251 Florin Road, there is and I had a meeting with the brother the other day, and I didn't know. Not only did I know he was there, but I didn't know that he was so invested and so well prepared and so produces such very crisp and professional work that I was kind of astounded when he took me through a tour through what he does, and he took me through he showed me some very impressive sets with all well equipped, everything ready, showed me his finished product, and I'm looking at it, I'm saying, man, this is great. And he's the owner of Kevin Media Design Professionals. They call him Swag. His name is Kevin, or I think they call him Swag Effects. But he's at 2251 Florin Road at the African Market, and he told me that he has a fair enough relationship with Mac, who had his experience with being burnt out, that if Mac needs to come to him to get some work done, he said he would offer his equipment for him to get. If he has contracts that need to be fulfilled, he understands that, and he's willing to allow Mac to come in and do his work in his establishment. How that sound? I mean, that's what we're talking about here. And
right,
I just spoke to him the other day.
About.
Right, that's what we're talking about. See, now he's in the same realm, right? So we might have a willingness to come and be a part of in some other way, but this is an immediate, direct way to be in response to his concern by having another printer and graphic design organization to volunteer to let him fulfill the necessary contracts to meet the deadlines that he had pending. That's what we're talking about. So I'm pleased to report that place is there, and I'm urging anybody who has anything right now that they want to get done that you go in there and check this out, because this young man, thorough, efficient, and serious. He's passionate. I talked to him. We had a very good conversation. Just so happened. I mean, I think this happened the day after. We were talking about something else completely, but this happened the day after the fire, or maybe 2 days after the fire. And as a matter of fact, conversation we were having about another subject, but then when I mentioned to him, was he aware of that? He said, yeah. He said, yeah. Yeah. I'm willing to let him come in and fulfill the necessary deadline contracts if he wants to. So hopefully he's listening right now to hear that offer is on the table. And I'm hoping that he'll call in or be fortunate enough to break through all of the espionage and cloak and dagger that's been put in our way to get here now, because now it's getting very, very, very suspicious to me that we're having difficulties getting our callers, or regular callers are not getting through, and we're not having any callers being able to call in to communicate or to share anything that may help us get a better perspective on what we're attempting to do. It's very suspicious to me. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm getting ready to get my magnifying glass out and start investigating what's behind the scenes on this, because it's very, very strange.
Yes, that's a great attitude to have. I commend that young man for what he's doing, and we need more. I'm sure there's more out there that's willing to help that's not even heard of the situation that's going on. That's why it's important that this podcast get across to everyone. So I would like to indulge everyone to tell a friend, tell a neighbor, just, you know, let somebody know that we're on the air and we're here to help. That's what this is all about, one helping another. So I invite anyone that's listening to reach out to others and help get this ball rolling. I digress.
So, you know, when you talk, there's a word known as momentum, right? And the description of momentum, especially in these kind of situations, is that once you start something and you press forward, you create a gravity and the law of attraction, and things keep moving, and you, as you go, you're pulling in more resources and more interest and more power in whatever movement you have. Now, what I hope will happen with us is that when we start developing projects or start developing movements that help the community, it gets to the where the momentum compels someone who may not have really been interested to feel it's necessary to participate because they can't afford to be said not to have participated, right? So maybe it might be, I don't want to shine the light on people that stand around and wait, like what we talked about, the reparations, and you ask somebody, well, man, if they give it to me, yeah, I accept it. And I'm saying, but that's not the responsibility, man, is to wait around on the if come. The responsibility is to believe and to move like you believe that you have it coming, right? So I'm hoping that once we start moving, like the BBOA is moving, like the design company, Media Design Professionals is moving, and so people looking and seeing them moving and saying, "Whoa, man! If they don't say my name, I look bad. I better go and do something, because if my name is not included in that, people gonna say, well, hey, man, how come you wasn't a part of that?" So there are these little peripheral things, these little undercover things that surface, that hopefully, and we're exposing them for people to consider, not just to say, well, I'm going to be nice and do this. You have to consider that it's part of a strategy for you to be a part of these things, because you don't want to be thought to be or leave yourself out so that people can look at you and say, dude, it sounds like something you should have participated in. What happened to you? Right? So that's the kind of thing that in the undercurrent of what we're talking about and what we're suggesting gets moving, that any other movement, we might get that law of attraction going, where you cannot afford to be seen or thought to not participate in it, and think that people are going to support you. So that's one of the plus factors, I think, of a situation like this.
And I agree with you 100%, you know, as well as anything else, you have those Johnny come latelys and expecting all the rewards. Such events or certain things that go on, you know, you can't afford not to miss out on helping someone because you never know when that tragedy comes to your door. So I behoove everyone to get up off your butts and do something somewhere, somehow, and not any time but this time.
Yeah, make a call, you know, just be curious. Look it up on the internet, see what, you know, what's the turnaround time, because I tried to look it up, but it's got, you know, I'm, you know, just call me, they call me Marvell, but my middle name is Fred, and my last name is Flintstone when it comes to this stuff. As a matter of fact, I tell the young people that I work with, I'm scared of my phone, and they say, what do you mean by that? I said, I'm scared of it because it'll have me stuck. You know, I start looking for one thing and get to scrolling and some pop up. I only had 10 minutes. Now I'm late because I've been doing this for 15. And I'm running late because I'm stuck on this hypnotism. So I tell them I'm scared of my phone. So when I was on the phone looking at it, it was just stuff kept popping up, and then I thought it was it, and I hit it, and then something else coming up, and oh, man, it wasn't giving me. I asked one question, and it started giving me a whole bunch of things, and when I thought I was getting to the answer to that question, it started swinging me towards something else. You know, it's just too much for me. Plus, all that small writing gets to me, too. And my phone, sometimes my phone won't even blow up the stuff that I really want to get to, so I gotta go get my little magnifying glass and all that to be able to see what it is that what the information is telling me. So I looked it up and I wasn't able to get a real clear understanding of what the turnaround time for the payout for insurance is. Because now in my mind I'm thinking, well, if a person is insured and they have a tragedy and the community steps up, is the community just being giving and caring and without an agreement? And so when he gets back on his feet, gets his insurance thing, what is the payout or the response or the benefit to the community is that he's back in business and that's it? Because that seems. If he has a settlement that just is just a timetable thing, it's just a, you know, a time lapse before he's paid out. But in the meantime, if he gets support from the community, does the community get an agreement to say, okay, well, once you're back in place and you get your settlement, do you do something in response to the community response? So that's sort of like a question that crossed my mind. And I don't suppose, you know, it's very, it's getting to be disturbing now that people are not able to express themselves directly to us. It's getting kind of, it's menacing to say the least, and it's disturbing to say the most now. Because we had commitments from people to call in on this subject so they can give us details so that we can operate on how to respond. And so far, it seems like there's been a challenge with that. And the networking thing, that response is getting kind of old because, as I said, I'll say it again. I talked to my partner the other day, yesterday, and the day before. He's going to the phone store. He's talking to people. They even called me up, had us on the three-way, saying what they were going to do to correct the situation. And the guy, before he hung up, he said, okay, that should work. And then when Tim used it, it worked for him. And then when he tried to use it this morning, talking about, well, you got to pay a penny a minute. And there's something very suspicious about that. He's going to keep on troubleshooting. But if this is all of a sudden, the last 2 weeks or 3 weeks at the most, that we've had phone concerns where we're not able, we had to shut down early because of some discrepancy on the network, and then we have people calling in not getting through, then we have the Metro situation. If you have Metro, which I think, T-Mobile has absorbed the Metro, so you have to contact T-Mobile and you have to get an arrangement with them, or now you have to dial 611 and get straightened out on the network. I mean, all this espionage just popped up all of a sudden. It's very suspicious and unfair as a result. So, gosh. But
well,
anyway,
that's what happens when you touch the nerves of the powers that be. Those that have control of the airways, that control all this progress that we're paying to take advantage of, they want to charge us in every area that they can. And that's unfair. But I also say that's why it's important that we can take back control of our lives. The cell phone was invented by a black man. But he don't have control over it. So, I mean, what kind of sense does that make? It's just like the kids we have. We had no control over them because the powers that be have control over them. You know, we don't control our household. They do. But we think we do because we got a few pennies. We got a few more pennies than others. But we're no better than the rest. We're all in the same boat. And we're sinking slowly. Well, not even slowly. We're thinking fast now. It was slowly, but we're thinking fast. So it's important that we come together and stand together and work together and love together. And you'll be surprised how many others will stand with us and work with us and work for us because they're waiting on us. I digress.
I agree. I mean, and the wait is not like they're waiting for a savior. They're just waiting for equity to be observed the way it's described in the Constitution and described in the so-called government structure of a democracy. They're just waiting for that lie. They're just waiting for that. So once that occurs, people can relax and say, okay, now I feel better about the system that you purport this to be, when you start giving equity to the people who deserve it the most. And I'm gonna go back and say what Joe said, who have earned it and thus deserve it the most. So we're back to the unity that seems to be a struggle. And again, understandably so. It's not like, at least not me, and I don't think you, Mark, I don't think Tim, I don't think any of the brothers that call in are standing back scratching our heads trying to figure out why we're not united. You know, that well-oiled mechanism that keeps us wary of each other and divided in our thought process. That you want to talk about expert and professional? That was expert and professional. That Willie Lynch dude over there, I think he was in the Caribbean, that passed on that methodology. And it got so well applied that it became an ideology. That not only was it well practiced by the bearer, but it was well absorbed by the recipients, which were us. We started really seemingly practicing mentally, emotionally, spiritually, subconsciously, all of those divisionary methods that were set forth in that Willie Lynch letter, right? Letter to a like mind, you know, hey, if you want, this is what you want them to do, then this is what you do. And that this is what you do has been so well rooted that we're seemingly caught up in the throes of it and fighting to get out of it and struggling in that fight. We have some optimism now. That's the big deal right now. This podcast and everything that I'm observing and reporting and everything that people are involving themselves in now is creating the optimism that there's an eventuality that we won't have to be so strapped and tethered to that ideology. We won't be stalled to the point to where we don't trust each other, or we don't see each other as royal, or we don't see each other as capable of you working together. That we're willing to weigh at that. That's the main objective for what all we do in this podcast is to whittle away at those oppositions. Just keep on exposing information and keep on bringing topics to the floor that will help us relax on all those tensions that exist about the bottom line. So I think we're in a good position. You know, I think we're in a good position. Because, you know, back to the radio thing and back to, as you said, the powers that be, Mark. They're in sales, they have these adages. And one of them is called, which means if Walmart charges something and it's a high price, then you can charge what Walmart charges. And you don't have to worry about Walmart overhead. They set a precedent for what you can charge. So you see that if you do an analysis and you say, well, Walmart's selling a lot of these, then you can charge what Walmart charged. You don't have to do the Walmart overhead. You don't have to have a lot of employees. You can charge what the market will stand because it's proven that people will buy at that price. But there's also a thing they call pricing you out of the market. So that means that if I have a product and I don't want you to have it, price you to the point to where you can't get it. Now, I'm supposed to be selling it. If you buy it, I'll sell it to you at this inflated and unreasonable agreement, but I really don't want you to have it. So I price you so high that you walk away. So that's what it seems like to me, that we're being priced out of the market. But we're not going anywhere. As long as we pay the fee to have this podcast, we're going to keep on podcasting. If it's two people, 200, 2,000, 200,000, we're going to keep on podcasting. So I hope that you guys will recognize and just be fair. Because this is very daunting, what we're experiencing now. But that's not going to stop us. You're not going to price us out of the market having everybody to call in paying a penny a minute to listen or to talk. Come on, really? Really, though? A penny a minute? That's what the quote was. So, when we talk about the community being involved, that's what crossed my mind. Okay, the community gets involved. It supports entity or the business that had the tragedy, right? It's what's in it for the community, the fact that they helped this business and this business owner restore themselves, and then we say, good job, y'all. Now he's back in business. So now when we want to go and get our stuff printed, we pay the fees without a discount or without an agreement. Because now because I've never really thought about it. And I'm remiss now that I'm thinking about it deeply. I'm remiss in not giving that attention to our community concern, not just generally. Like if Walmart go out of business, ain't nobody going to help build Walmart. You know what I'm saying? We ain't going to go with no sticks and nails and hammers to try to repair Walmart. Walmart's strapped. They ain't got to worry about that. So we're not going to be community-minded about Walmart, even though Walmart is in the center of our community. But when it comes to small businesses and stuff like that, it hadn't crossed my mind that we might pour in and help them. But at the same time, once they're back on their feet, what is the concession for those who made the sacrifice and poured in? So it makes sense to me that if nothing else, the integrity of the business and the business owner probably be a major consideration. It's like, oh, okay, yeah, he did this, he did that, or she did this and she did that for the community. She was helping the community, which that's what I'm understanding is occurring here with this situation, is that generous to the community. So therefore, supporting him would only be considered fair, whether he gets a settlement or when he gets a settlement to get his business back in order. It might seem, okay, if we don't do nothing else, let's get this man back in place because he is already contributing. But then there's, on the other hand, my mom used to say, don't fatten frogs for snakes. If you're not confident in the integrity of the business person that you're supporting in the community, if you don't have that in your heart to feel like, if I help them, they're going to continue to help the community, then we might be fattening the frog for a snake. Pouring into somebody that once they get back on their feet, they do nothing but get back on their feet and start walking in a direction that's not toward the community. So I guess these are a little detailed considerations when we talk about community pouring in to a situation like this.
Ashe, I agree with you 100%, my brother. And I'm just curious, are there anyone out there listening? If so, just come in and just say hi. Just let us know that you hear us and you're standing with us.
Now I'm hearing you reverberation now. Oh, man, okay. I hope that's just that's us. I hope that's not the network. Because
that was me.
Oh, okay.
That was me.
Okay, I'm glad to hear. I'm glad to hear.
I was sitting next to my laptop.
Okay,
I pulled
good,
it up on
good,
my laptop. We are on Facebook.
Right, okay,
so just
good.
So just to let the listeners know, we are on Facebook. And you'll find us at
Yes.
Words of One God show.
Thank you, sir. That's appreciable. That's appreciable because, of course, we feel like what we're saying is important. But why wouldn't we do it if we didn't? Just that I don't assume that what we're doing and what we're saying is important to everybody. I'm just urging that give us a shot to see. Just tune in to see. And then you make your decision. I'm not going to decide what's important for you. but I'm going to propose what I think is important to us as a body, as a people, as a culture, as an entity that is has been overshadowed by a whole bunch of good game and diversion. Right? Good game. I ain't talking about this is some very clever game, you know, because, you know, I used to be involved with all kinds of game. I've never liked it, I never did it, but I've been around some real live con men who took somebody's trust and their greed to combine the two to make it so that they can bilk people out of their money because of either one or both of those emotions. So it's good game. It's just game should be over now, because now we're looking and we're saying, all right, well, it's been working, but not for us. The game has been working, but not very much for us. So let's expose the game and maybe stop even playing the game or make a game of our own that works for us. And the game that may very well work best for us is acknowledging each other for the royalty that's in the blood and the capability that's in the spirit. And then just act accordingly. Accordingly. If you rouse somebody that you know has ability and has is capable, kick it with them. Plan with them. Create together. And see what happens. Because that might be the one size fit all. For now, and again, I'm going to say this, and I'll say this every time. It is not just for a group of people who have been omitted and second class, third class, manipulated, duped to a high degree, and indoctrinated. It's not just for that group of people. It is for the best interest of this country. Because Mark mentioned it earlier. There are people who are waiting for a movement that will bring balance and equity to the peoples of this country. Balance and equity so that there's no underclass go-to. Everybody has a viewpoint that they don't have to do anything really extraordinary. Because see, we're extraordinary in so many ways, and we look around and we see people who are, and I don't want to be crass about it, but people who are ordinary, who are doing far better than the extraordinary. Because when, you know, we see people that say, this dude ain't no genius. How you rolling like that? I don't see genius. Maybe I look closer, and the closer I look, the more ordinary they look. Whereas we demonstrate extraordinary creativity. So there are people waiting for that recognition to occur across the board where everybody's on the same page, and I think it'll relax a whole bunch of tensions and take focus off a whole bunch of what I call subterfuge or diversions from what makes this country great. So it's one of the greatest countries, but it could be what they call it already, the greatest country in the world. I don't think that's the truth.
Me neither.
And if we look, yeah, if we look closer, we'll see that the evidence proves it. They have countries who don't have crime. If that's a great country. They don't have crime. You got countries that don't have guns.
That's right.
That's a great country. That's a great country. Right? Whereas we got this country, you can't even get excited about a movie unless somebody's standing with a gun. Right? You scan through the movie brochure and 78% of them, somebody standing with a gun or MR-15 or showing that they're getting ready to shoot something or getting ready to go have a gun battle. You know, it's like, well, that's our kind of like our forte, right? As a country, so are we great? We might be the biggest bully in the world. And then we got to watch out for other bullies who want to match our bullyism. Now you got one country with an atomic bomb and another country building one, and you, the one with that had the one at first trying to get the other one that's not built there, and they're saying, well, how are you going to tell me not to have one and you got one? Who do you think you are? So being the greatest country, that's a questionable statement to substantiate. But we can be the greatest country on earth if we move toward equity that everybody can see.
Brother Marvell.
Have this class struggle. Yes, sir.
Brother Marvell, when you say we could be the greatest country, I failed to realize that in my sitting here listening, because oh, hold on. I got Mac Block on here. Mac Block.
Yes, sir. How you doing, Uncle Tim?
All right. So we was talking, Brother Marvell, I didn't mean to cut you off. We was talking about how you lost your business to a fire, and I was asking, where's the community support? Is there a small business fund for those whose business has been lost through a tragedy? And so, Brother Mac, our host is Marvell Wilson. Marvell, this is Brother Mac, who lost his establishment there on Florin and Franklin.
Right on.
How you doing?
We've been all right, man. I don't know. You just tuned in, or have you been listening?
I just tuned in
just now.
Okay,
my phone line.
Okay, well, we've been sort of broaching the matter and talking about. No, on the periphery, we can only talk so much about it, but we have shared that it hasn't crossed our mind before now, but it seems appropriate that someone, especially someone like you, who has been known and demonstrated that you pour into the community to help the community, that when something like this happens, that you should be considered and supported by the community to meet the contracts you have that are time sensitive, and that you should have ability to operate your business until, because we understand that you have an insurance policy, and we don't know what the turnaround time is. I guess you can share with us what that is. But in the interim of that, you still have responsibilities that you like to meet, and if there's something in the community, either an organization or a willingness for people in the community to help you fulfill that until your ducks get in a row, that's what we've been talking about. So maybe you can give us a little bit more detail about what it is that you would like to have happen in the short term, and then what would happen in the aftermath of your getting yourself financially settled.
My thing is, since it happened, I'll tell you how it first happened. I woke up, it had to be like 8 o'clock in the morning. I keep my ringer off of my phone. So and I woke up to 100 missed calls, a bunch of Facebook calls, a bunch of Instagram calls. And my broker, the guy that wrote my policy, his office is
a few blocks down. It's right by Stagecoach off of Florin Road. That's where his office is, for his insurance office. So he called me. He said, I think your building's on fire. And I said, what? I got up, turned on the news. I seen it on the news. So I get in my car. I'm in my van, and it was the longest ride I've ever had, because I'm thinking it couldn't have been my building. So I'm on my way down. I get on Highway 99. I exit 47th like I always do. I make a left on Franklin and go all the way up Franklin. I see fire trucks. I see smoke. But I still don't believe that it's my building, 3811 Florin Road. So as I'm driving, I look to the right side. I go by Jackie Rose's office, and I try to look over their fence because I couldn't get in, and it was my building on fire. And then that's when my heart stopped. I was like, God damn. So I swing back around. I try to get through the gate because they're putting the gate up on the building. The land that's next door to me, they got a gate right there. So I roll around the gate, pull in. First person I seen was Channel 3 News was there first. And I couldn't believe it. You know what I'm saying? Something that you built. I had been there almost 10 years. Something that you built from the ground up. I started the office with nothing inside the office. And then I ran into the right people. They helped me with machines and equipment, and I paid it off. I got more machines and equipment, paid it off. I built it all the way up from the ground up. So after that, I'm sitting there watching. I recorded everything. I just couldn't believe it, man. I really couldn't believe that what was happening. And, you know, anybody could ever go through this, they'll understand what I'm saying, because day two, the day after everything was done, the next day they came back and there was a part of the structure that was still standing. I don't know who it was, but somebody came back and burnt the other side of that building. So, you know, I know it was some foul play. You know, they're affecting all of us. I think it's 20 businesses that were in that complex, 20 businesses. It was an old building, but it was a building. You understand what I'm saying? It was somewhere we can go and we can get our business done. You know, somewhere Hooked on Fishing can come in. Tim Poole will come in, and I'll design his flyers and all his artwork for anything he had for his chess group, or if he was out there taking the kids out there on a retreat, or if he was, you know, he had any type of event he would go on, it would come out of there, marketing promotion. Anything that Jackie Rose would come out of, be marketing promotion. Anything that some of the council members from District 5, Katie Maple, would come out, I would do all that marketing promotion. District 2, anything that would go on over there with Daryl Roberts, I would do all their marketing promotions. Any artist, any celebrity that would come out to Sacramento, they would come out. I would do all their marketing promotions. If you can think of it, I can name hundreds of names. I could keep name dropping, but everybody in the city knows the pedigree of me and what I've done for the city. So after this catastrophic event happened, I'm asking just for, you know, I just need a good word, some support, because my insurance, the thing about insurance, and anybody knows this, that when insurance don't kick in right when this situation happened. But you know what do kick in? Your bills. Comcast is still calling me about a bill, and the building ain't even there no more. Smudge still wants the bill paid, and we ain't got no more Smudge. Ain't no more lights and come on over there. You understand what I'm saying? So this is a event where, I mean, to be honest with you, the only office that had reached out to me was Jackie Rose and probably Michael Benjamin from Katie Maple's office. They said that they were going to try to find some emergency funds to try to help. But I'm reaching out. I have to do my own fundraiser because I still have bills I need to pay. I still have rent I need to pay for this house. I got a lot of stuff I still need to be accounted for. You understand? I still need to live. I need to have gas to go drive to go meet my attorney. You understand? It's a really, 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 really hard circumstance when you do so much for the community and you have not heard anything from any of the leaders. But, you know, I mean, it's fine. You know, this is nothing. I'm shit. It's, you know, it's day one. We got to start back over. You know, I'm thinking it's 1996 was my hardest year. That was when I was 18 years old. I had to figure it out. So I'm back in 1996 right now. I have to grind. I got to figure it out. I got to go talk to the right people. You know, I'm not asking for no handout or just, I mean, send me some business. Send me some business. Send me something. You understand? So I don't know, y'all. I'm trying to figure it out. I'm trying to understand which direction I'm going with this. From now on, with my nonprofit, Mac Lab Media, I'm gonna be helping a lot of people that's going through this situation. I'm gonna help navigate them through this situation from all the contacts and connections that I have, because I know the feeling of when you lose everything. I mean everything. Hard drives. A lot of my hard drives with a lot of the artwork I would do for some of these nonprofits and some of these other businesses in the community. The NAACP, I did all of their award dinners, and you know, I got a lot of their artwork on my hard drives. I could keep going, man, all kind of stuff. So, you know, it's a hard thing, though, man. It's a hard thing for me. Yeah. Tim. Hello?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And so, this is my nephew right here, man. I go back with him. We do business. We talk about business. We help other businesses. We, you know, I just want to uplift him, and I told him to call in today because today's show was going to be about his loss. And we're not trying to just bash any of the people that say they can help or any black leader in the city. There's over 1,000 black churches here in Sacramento, over 1,000. And not one has come and talked with my nephew and said, hey, man, you know, we got a building fund that we do every Sunday for 50 years. We ain't put a new doorknob on our church, but we can come and drop something over there to you, man, because this is what that looked like. This is the love of God from us to you. Not only that, there's other council members that are in this city that should be, Rick Jennings should have been the first over there to help Mac Block get his situation together. They help everybody else. They're bringing all these, I can go back to the Ukrainians, the Afghans that they're bringing over here, giving lots of money to, homes to, jobs to, and here's a Sacramento grown, owned, right here with the business. It's the cold thing about it. It ain't like he out there slumming in a tent, actually put it, helping build nothing. This is a business. This is a business. So what does this tell our black youth? If I build it and they burn it down, ain't nobody going to help me put it back up? Is this the Wall Street, black Wall Street being burnt down? You know, is this how this going to continue to be? When will we as a people come together and help our own people? It doesn't take much. If we all put in $7, 159,000 blacks in Sacramento. And so I'll take half of that because most of them are kids. So I'll take half of that. I'll take 75,000. So if you say 75,000 adults put in $5, that'll help this brother. That'll help this brother in one day. That'll help this brother. Do you know that they'll give a dog that got hit by a car, they could put a GoFundMe up for that dog and raise $180,000 for a surgery that only costs $30,000? I've seen it.
Man, that's real. That's real. It's funny that you said that because and that's the value of a person's life where – I'm seeing this shit. I'm sorry to curse. I'm sorry, but hey, this situation has woke me up about people. Like you said, a cat can get hit, and they'll put a GoFundMe up, and a cat will get more donations than Mac Lab Media will. And I understand. I have insurance. I understand that. That's a protection. But that day to day, when you know it's the middle of the month right now. It's the 13th, 14th right now, and I got bills, man. In the next 15 days, it's gonna be another. I gotta pay more rent. You understand? And that you know that's that day to day where I make 500 here 1,000 there, 1,500 here. Some days I'll only make $1. Some days I won't make no money. So all of that is gone. Now I got customers that you know, that I'm abandoning my customers. I still got to figure it out. I still got to get these done. I still got to serve them. I still got to take care of them. You know what I mean? But I'm in a disposition, you know. So, you know, I mean, I can't get bitter on the community. But I, you know, for when you put a lot out, you put a lot of positivity out, you try to help as much as you can. I'm not a rich man. I'm not rich, but I do offer with my help. They say with anybody that you deal with, especially a black man or a black person, a black woman, you need to lead, follow, or get out the way. You understand? And I just, you know, I'm in a position where it's a learning lesson for me right now. I'm learning. I'm learning about people. I'm learning how people are, how people think. You understand? I have to be humble. I'm in a humble position right now. You know what I'm saying? But how y'all feel about that, though, man?
You always been humble, man, even when you're giving. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
Even when you're giving, you're humble. See, this ain't your fault. This ain't your fault that our people won't come together and support, you know. And so, Marvell, did I hear that we Swag offered to let him come down and do some work down there? Am I correct with that? Because
yeah,
I'm gonna go to Swag today.
Okay,
that's what I heard. That's what you heard. Also, let me detail something that I think is important to consider as we look at this circumstance. His circumstance is unique because he has poured in the community and helped a vast number of agencies do what they do with professionalism, right? With good, solid, clear work that's professional and artistic, all that. He's done that. So his situation is unique. Because in the backdrop, I can envision, because maybe that's what I was thinking. Because I ran into he was at the Robinson Center when I was there the other day, last week.
Yeah.
And he came up to me and we chatted for a minute. And he said, yeah. I said, man, I heard about your thing. And he said, man, yeah. And he said, but luckily I got insurance. And you know, my automatic thought was, okay, well, you're insured, you got insurance, you're cool then, right? And I think that that's the assumption of the general unknowing population is that, well, you got insurance, you cool, right? But now I'm hearing the details that there's a turnaround time. I don't know what that is for the insurance to do what they do to help you get solvent. But I think that that's one thing to be considered is that people think that if you have insurance that you home free, because no matter what, when you get your settlement, you can pay what's old and then be able to pay what's new, right? That's one aspect that I think should be considered. Number two is that I hadn't thought about it before. What is a community response to a situation like this generally? Because if it's not somebody of high integrity like you, if it's not somebody who has demonstrated that they care about the community and willing to make sacrifices to make sure that the community gets done what it wants to get done, and if it hasn't been somebody who has demonstrated your humility and all of these good qualities, then people would think, well, I ain't doing that. I'll be fattening a frog for a snake.
Yeah.
That's an old adage,
you're right.
Fatten the frog for a snake, meaning, okay, I pour into you, and then you get back on your feet, and then you walk another direction, right?
Yeah.
So in this case, yours is unique because I don't think anyone, it's fair for anyone to say that you don't deserve it or that they help you, that you won't in turn turn around and pay forward the help that you receive. Your situation is unique. But generally speaking,
yeah.
I would dare to say we would have to use your situation as a model to go forth. Now, here's two things with this vote. Number one, the BBOA, the Black Business Owners Association, I'm told, is sponsoring a fundraiser. I'm a member, but I didn't know about it, but I hear about it, and I'm gonna take it as the truth that they're sponsoring a fundraiser. And then I talked to Kevin at Media Design Professionals 2 days after your fire made me the next day. Just had a meeting with him about something else, and I mentioned, I said, well, you know, he said, yeah, man. He said, me and Mac, we cool. He said, matter of fact, if he needs to come in and meet some of his contracts that are time sensitive, I'll let him come in here. Have you talked to him about
that? Yeah, I talked to him about that. He told me that. Kevin's one of my Kevin is like he's like a little brother to me, man. I taught him a lot of the print business. You know, he learned the graphic design business from another graphic designer named Chuck Taylor. And then he learned the print business through me. So, you know, I showed him how to get his toner together and how to charge his customer and how to have it at this time and what type of service contract he gonna need. So me and Kevin, man, as black people, I don't look at another brother as competition. I look at him as I'm gonna help him and he's gonna help me even get even bigger. And that was just my motto with the whole thing. You know what I mean? With the whole business. And Kevin is like when he told me that the other day, that was an honorable stand up type of thing. And you know, in my mind, I'm gonna remember all of this shit, all of this stuff, right? Anything that people tell me, or they be on some bullshit, or you know, when I'm in a displacement and they hurry up and got to get off the phone because they don't want to hear what the hell I'm about to say, all that shit, I'm sensitive to it because I had an open door policy on my business. You can walk in. Sometimes I just leave the door open, or I lock the door if I don't feel like dealing with no shit. You know what I'm saying? But I had an open door policy where you come in, you can talk to me about anything, and most of the time, 195% of the time, I'm going to do it because I know it's going to help your business, and if I help your business, you're going to bring me back more business. You understand what I'm saying? And that's the way I feel, but shit. Go through somebody, when you go through your house getting burnt down, and then you're trying to call somebody to borrow a pillow. Then you're going to see who your friends really are. You follow what I'm saying?
Well, you're going to hear that relief valve. You got insurance, right? Yeah, I got insurance. Oh, okay, well, you know. Again, this is a model. This is a model for henceforth how we can look at situations that occur like this, right? Insurance notwithstanding, that's not the point. The point is there's an immediacy that deserves to be addressed. And if somebody will see, this is the variance that I see, is that someone who is known for contributing, that might be what compels people to stand in the gap. But someone who is just a business person and not known for that, I don't think they're going to attract the type of attention that you might deserve. Now, let me say something to you, Mac. I'm going to say this to you because I said this to Tim. It was said to me back in 1983, man. I was a criminal. I was a criminal and in and out of jail, and all the guys that I see in jail, I never saw on the street. So I called a meeting one time with all these professional criminals, and I tried to say, let's syndicate, right? And they looked at me and they said, well, who going to run? They was worried about, oh, you going to try to run it. They thought I was trying to be Little Caesar or something. Thought I was trying to run it. I was just trying to get us to consolidate, right, because we weren't doing too well individually, so let's try to do it collectively. And then they shot it down. And I was a little forlorn about it. I was like, dang, I don't get it. So a dude came up to me, a wonderful spirited dude, had a $100 million smile and a heart. You wouldn't even understand why he was in jail. He pulled me to the side and he said, Marvell, let me talk to you. He said, I said, yeah, Sam. Name was Sam. He said, man, I got something to tell you. He said, you know what? He said, you're a good dude. He said, you got a good heart. You got good ideas. He said, but you make one mistake. And I said, what's that, Sam? He said, you think everybody think like you do. And that's what I'll impart
that's
to you.
Yeah.
Everybody don't
because,
think
because
like
Because people
you.
Don't. Yeah, that's right. That's real.
No. So don't get disgruntled and don't let it tear away at the fiber of your spirit or your intentions just because people don't think like you, because the way you think speaks to your anointment, and everybody is not anointed like you.
Yeah, that's true.
So I'm just going to encourage you, man, not to, you know, not to get downtrodden about what people are not doing because they don't think the way you think.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
That demonstration is not going to be the way yours is, right? Their hearts are
that's
not
right.
going to be where yours is. So that's
you know,
why that's
you know
why I'll impart to you.
You know how God works. You get tested. Like, it's a test I'm going to. And when I woke up that morning to drive down there, turning on 47, turning on Franklin, driving up there, seeing that smoke, that my test had began. And you know how we know how tests work. That test is the whole community sees this test that I'm going through. This is a test for everybody, too, because God tearing the tables, and the same thing I'm going through, somebody else is going to go through. You know, and if I have to pass this test, because if I don't pass this test, it can happen again, and it can happen again, it can happen again. So you know, I got to pass this test with an A+ grade. You understand? So you know, I'm gonna keep my chin up, keep my chin to my chest, so I don't get knocked out. I'm gonna stay focused. I'm gonna continue helping those that help me. Hooked on Fishing, you brother, anybody that support me, man, I love them and I appreciate them. By Tim even having me on his show, I appreciate that, man. Every time I have a business, I need business advice, I call Tim, and me and Tim, we strategize on which direction to go, make a right, make a left, don't make that right because that might not work. You understand what I'm saying? That was the office. It may have been an old little shack. It may have been an old building, but that's what was going on in that office. We was in there networking. We was, like you said, Tim, it was the Black Wall Street. We was in there connecting the dots, and we still on our way to do it. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I mean, I'm not going to hold anybody. I love it. I love the community, you know, but I don't know. It's bad leadership. I'll tell you that. That's how I feel, you know. Bad leadership, man.
And that's true.
And that's real.
So, man, that's bigger than anything I could have said because I didn't lose like that. I lost it a couple of months ago where a joker who I thought was my friend who was a mentor to me, who showed me a lot, and then, you know, I got comfortable with this guy and to the fact where he had the keys to my house, anything, bank account, anything. He had everything because I was looking to trust somebody like that. And it feels good when you can trust somebody like that. It makes you want to keep going, right? And at the end of the day, I got burnt, right? And at first I was sour. I talked to Mac Block. I went and sat there and damn near cried on his shoulder, man, about this situation. And
yeah.
You know, he told me, man, we gonna get it back, man. Don't worry. Don't let that bother you, man. Keep doing what you're doing. And, man, God see you, and he going to bless you. And so I'm still waiting on the blessing. You understand me? But I didn't say
it. And your blessed
cheek. He blessed
you know,
me to wake up this morning. Hey, I had to get a laugh, though. I had to get a laugh, y'all. And so, I was blessed to wake up this morning. So that's my blessing. You know, every morning
that's
I wake
right.
up, that's the blessing he give me. So I can go through another stick and jab, you know, and move and get out the way. And, you know, he gives me, he prepares a place for me. So, Mac, this is what I'm saying to you, man. God going to prepare a place for you, man. It's going to be a struggle what this is. Like you said, it's a test to just testing you, not those around you, just testing you in your faith. And you pray every Friday. I know that well, you'll shut down that shop to go down to the mosque, right? I know. So
seriously.
And so your prayers is not going to go in vain, brother.
Yeah. I appreciate you telling me that, man. You
yes,
know what
sir.
I'm saying?
Yes,
I really
sir. And
yeah,
so,
you know what I mean?
Let's take a commercial break right quick. We'll be right back, man. It is the Wise Words of One Gonna Show on Blog Talk Radio.
And, man, the number is 515-605-9861. God is good all the time and all the time. God is
Hooked
good.
On Fishing
we'll
and
right
Not On
back.
Violence presents You Healing Circle every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m.
You Healing Together.
2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California. Inside of Room 67, our Youth Healing Circle is a forum where we dive into discussions about drugs, bullying, school, and life skills. We provide a safe space and inform our youth
that sometimes it is okay to not be okay.
During our Youth Healing Circle, our youth may hear from other youth as well as experienced adults how to problem solve and navigate unforeseen complexities that we all run into in life. 2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California. That's Room 67 every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. For more information, text or call 916-889-0105. Let's heal together.
Hey, man, you got your fishing pole?
Got my fishing pole?
Yeah, man, we going fishing.
Man, I ain't going no fishing, man. I got this strap. These streets is hot.
Hey, man, you need to call Hooked on Fishing, Not on Violence at 916-889-0105. Hooked on Fishing, Not on Violence. It's brought to you by Wise Words with One Gon' Show, and We Can Work It Out In. Hooked on Fishing and Not on Violence. It's taking the guns out of our kids' hands and putting a rod and reel in them. We are located at 2251 Florin Road in South Sacramento. That's Hooked on Fishing, Not on Violence. Join the crew and save a kid. You know how we do.
That's right, and tonight we got Free Family Skate Night. That is at 10404 Franklin Boulevard, 6:30 to 8:30. That is 10404 Franklin Boulevard, right in Elk Grove, California. It starts from 6:30 to 8:30. We'll be giving away some raffle prize. Tonight going to be pretty busy. I talked to a lot of people, and they will be there just because they weren't there last time. Hey, so I'm back with the host, with the most, Mr. Marvell Wilson. Marvell?
Yes, sir. Yeah, so is Max still on the line?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. So, man, again, that gesture that's been extended, that's a warm gesture coming from Kevin. And I felt that. I felt the spirit of that when he said it, right? So I'm glad that it is what it appears to be, because a lot of times that's what happens. We get spirited into thinking and feeling a certain way and anticipating a certain thing, and when it doesn't happen, the disappointment is so great that we don't want to take the risk no more. That's our people, because we are already warm, trusting people, right? And those defeats weigh heavily on us. Right? And I'm saying a body. I'm talking about I'm saying for everybody. I'm saying that like I can speak for everybody, which I can't. But that's my observation, is that the warmth of our hearts and the trusting spirit that we have makes it so that when those things happen, they're very devastating. So I understand that you have this feeling that you're experiencing right now. I just want to encourage you, man, that Your anointment and your demonstration is enough for the Spirit of God to move in and bring remedy to these concerns. And you getting something happening right now. The BBOA sponsoring the fundraiser, and Kevin of Media Design Professionals has said he would stand in the gap to help you meet whatever immediate contracts you have, man. So I think that's a good start. Do you?
Yeah, that's a real good start. That's a good, anything helps. Anything helps. You know what I mean? Even a wellness check. I was just telling one of my boys on his live on my Facebook. I said a wellness check it goes a long way, because you know mentally, you know, you get down. You get down. I got a routine. I get up. I jump in the shower. I get down to the office. I make all my phone calls. I try to connect with everybody I can connect with. All that shit is done. I can't drive nowhere. I even drove the next day thinking it just being in routine, drove down there to rubble. You understand what I'm saying? I'm looking at rubble, man. I'm looking at, man, but hey, Kim, and that's, hey, look, we got to laugh about it. You got to have some fun about it, because if you don't, you'll cry, you'll get depressed. So we got to laugh. You know what I mean? We got to smile. We got to shit. You know what I'm saying? It's you know, I've seen so much in my lifetime, man. And like this one is going to be marked on the history books for me. I'm always remember this. So you know what I mean? I mean, when a person, if a person, like even with Tim has been supportive with this. Hey, you, brother, you've been supportive with this too when you see me over there at the Robinson Center. You know what I'm saying? Like anything, I remember all of this stuff. Like who treats you right, man, when you down. Or he even brings you, just bring me a water. Bring me a water. That's it. You understand? So, you know, that type of thing, that goes a long way with me, man. And, you know, in the future, hopefully I could tie together with some of these other companies, these other entities, these other nonprofits. We can tie together. And if a black business goes down in fire, we can have something that's already in place that when it goes down, I can offer them services to help them get the word out with marketing. Tim can offer them media services. What we're doing right now when we write these grants, he's offering media services to a black business that has burnt down. All of this means something. You understand what I'm saying? They don't have to give money. Just let me be on your show and explain what's going on. You understand? Mm. All of that goes a long way. So these are like things in place. We got to use our platforms righteously. Use a platform, man. Share it on you ain't got to donate a dollar. Just share the thoughts, share the blessing, man. We all got our prayers in for Mac Lab Media, for what he's going through. We share Hooked on Fishing's radio show just to show that we're showing support, to build up his listeners. All of this stuff goes a long way, man. And, you know, us as people sometimes, I ain't sharing that, I ain't doing that. That'd be the wrong time to do that, because something like this happened, this is some real shit that happened. This ain't no fraudulent, made up shit. This is real. This is the truth. This is what a person is going through, you know. And, you know, I mean, I'm always remember all this stuff, y'all, you know. And I appreciate y'all some, y'all like my OGs in the community. I listen to what y'all saying. If y'all say, tell me anything, I'm listening to it and I'm taking from it, I'm pulling from it to add to my arsenal. You understand? So, I mean, you know, I don't know, man. I'm gonna keep my head up and then keep bobbing and weaving. You know what I mean? I love boxing, so I keep moving my feet. Slow feet don't eat. You got to keep going. You understand?
Hey, slow feet don't eat, baby. Listen. When you say that you, with your nonprofit, you want to build something for those that may go through what you just went through. And what I say to you is that all of the talk that these people with that money talking about, they got it from the city, the state, and the feds for small businesses, they should be out knocking on your door right now so they can say, hey, this is what I got the money for from the feds, is to help this guy right here. He's already ready. Let me go ahead and bless him right now. I might not can give him the new business, but I can help him meet his obligations. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Help him meet his obligation, because before the fire, you had business. You had people coming in. You got obituaries to be done. You got flyers to be done.
Yeah.
You still have contracts with different individuals that you have to meet deadlines that you're not able to meet.
Sir.
And I'm wondering why no one ran to you and said, hey, man, come over here, man. Go ahead and use the shop. I see Kevin saying that, and I'm going over there today to find out if that's how that's going to go. And we're gonna push to get you up over there to get at least your obligations together, right?
Yes, sir.
Because you still got to eat. You still got rent. You still got them bills that you had already incurred. You already had bills already, right?
Yeah.
If the building ain't there, don't mean that you ain't got bills. That, because them folks don't care nothing about your fire. They want their money. Smud don't care nothing about no fire. They want their money.
They want their money, man. That's the first thing. No, that's the first thing they, hey, look, they, hey, I was getting calls from Smut calling me about the bill. I had to explain to Smut, I had to explain to Comcast, I had to call AT&T, I had to call, what other accounts? I had a whole bunch of accounts that, you know, my supply places, I have a credit and accounts with them. I had to call them, tell them that I'm in emergency status right now. It's code red. You understand? It's code red. And they got to understand that. You understand? So, you know, for when you talk to another businessman and a businesswoman and they tell you that, okay, you, at least you got insurance, they should understand that you have a day-to-day, you need to go buy soap and you need to put gas in your vehicle to get back and forth. They should understand that. You understand? So, I mean, but then they don't have to understand it because it's not their problem. It's my problem, right? So, I, you know, but in the future.
It's the community's problem. It's the community's problem. That's why I'm speaking to the community. That's why we speaking to the community. It's the community's problem because we allowing our black brother to drown instead of throwing him a life raft or even a float. We're not throwing anything into the water to save you from drowning. That speaks volumes to how far we still have to go to get to where other ethnicities are.
Yeah,
you let Pancho, who only got a push cart out there serving frozen. You let something happen to him, and it'll be on the news because I seen where a lady 2 years ago was out there with one of them carts, and a dude walked up and hit her in the mouth or something, and was threatening her. The man, they raised so much money for that woman. You hear me?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
And it was a Hispanic, and she was on the side of the road with her business.
Man, that right there is a sad truth, man. That you know that's where we go back to weak leadership. That's weak leadership. You know what I mean? Weak leadership, man. They look for a photo ops in order to make themselves look good. This is your best chance right now. You understand me? Come out. Come on. We'll make you look good. Come talk to me, man. I'll tell you what we need. We need pencils. I need paint. I need a desk. I need new computers. We need what else? We need phone lines. We need a flat screen so people can come in and we can have our little commercials play on to show what we do digitally. It's a whole lot of rebuilding we got to do, man. You know, I mean, it bring me an iPad or a laptop. That'll help me get back to where we're trying to go. You know, then I can communicate because everything I'm doing right now is in my van on the phone. I'm in the van. You know, it's a two-seater, and the rest is empty because it's a cargo van. I'm in there with a pen and a notepad with my cell phone, and I'm in there. I'm trying to make some plays happen. I'm trying to make some things happen. I'm trying to make the connections happen. You know, so, you know, trying to figure this out, y'all, you know. That's what I'm trying to do.
Hey,
I have a question.
Go ahead.
What's up?
Yeah, I have a question.
What's up?
What's the estimated turnaround time for the insurance company?
You don't know that.
The estimated
Let me answer that.
Okay.
You don't know because right now they still in the investigation. Investigation could be anywhere from today to 5 months from now. Because they don't know how this fire started. They got to find out if it's arson, is it intentional? They got a whole bunch. I went out there this morning. I took the kids out to go to work. We're working right across the street from the building, and we were looking at different cars pull up, white cars with lights on the top, and they get out with their book, and they was walking around the property, and they still writing down stuff. And then we seen a fire marshal looking like truck, wasn't a full tray, was just you could see the emblem on the side. He pulled up. They still walking around trying to determine what happened, who did it, you know, and so they're not going to rush. The insurance is not going to rush to give you nothing. They don't do that if you get in a car accident. When you get in a car accident, you know you ain't hit them people. They hit you. And sometimes it takes them to do an investigation. It takes them, and you're not in the wrong, 2 to 3 weeks. When they can say, well, this guy's in fault, but they'll tell you, well, we got to wait for the police report. We got to wait for CHP to do their final investigation. And then you wait for that, and then they take a minute to get you a check to you. So it varies, Marvell. It varies. It's not because you got insurance they just going to send you a check. They're not just doing that. They're going to wait a minute. And so I want to play this song right quick. I got to play this song. This for you, Mac Block. Don't go nowhere. Yes, you're listening to the Wise Words of One Gone Show. It's me against the world, man. It's me against the world.
It's just me against the world. In the city, the cops are topping me. The prostitutes full of bullets, nobody's just dropping. There ain't no stopping me. Constantly moving while making millions. Witnessing killers, leaving dead bodies in the band of buildings. Carries the pills because they're illin'. Addicted to killing and the appeal from the cat villain. Without feeling, but will they last or be blasted? Hard at its past. Maybe you're listening to casket. The aftermath, more bodies being buried. I'm missing my homies in a hurry. They relocating to the cemetery. Got me worried, stressing my business worry. The question is, will I live? No one in the world. Danger. Don't touch strangers, but one in the chamber whenever I'm feeling this anger. Don't wanna make excuses, cause this is how it is. What's the use unless we're shooting? No one notices the youth. It's just me against the world, baby.
Me against the world.
It's me against the world.
I just want you to know, Mac Block, you ain't by yourself, man. It ain't you against the world. You're listening to the Wise Words of One Gone Show with the host with the most, Marvell Reed. Marvell!
Yes, sir. And then moreover, see, we did a breakdown the other day about the word world and what it means. When you say the world, you're talking about the vastness of humanity. But when you say your world, you're talking about your circle of friends, and you're talking about the people that you care about, that you can depend upon. So our world might be in opposition with the world, but you have a world of your own, and in that world,
yes,
there are people who stand with and for you. So we're talking our world, against the world.
That's right. And hey, look, in this world, like my brother or my sister or my fellow business partners that I'm dealing with, you know, I'm gonna continue to help. I'm not gonna turn jaded because of a response, or I don't know if people are waiting to see a news broadcast that it was some bad intentions going on, but that ain't what happened. You understand? So it's right now, everything I'm doing is pure, is real, you know. And I won't be jaded about the response of my situation. You know what I mean? A slow response. You know what I mean? But, you know, God willing that, you know, something beautiful will come out of this, you know. And the thing about going back to insurance, that's why we need to educate our people about how insurance works, because they don't understand fully. You know, it takes 6 months to a year to complete things. You got four different bureaus. You got the Department of Disastrous Buildings dealing with it. You got arson dealing with it. You got the police department dealing with it. You got the fire department. All of those bureaus have to come together and think on the same page. Code enforcement, that's five different bureaus. So they're all in different areas and different ways, and you had 2 days of situations happen over there. So I don't know what happened, but they have to figure that out from afar, you know. So that's going to take some time, you understand? And who's affected? MacLab Media is affected. Who's affected? My customers, Tim Hooked on Fishing, and not on violence is effective. Marvell is effective because Marvell can come over there and get any graphic design or photos from a softball shoot that we did where Marvell fell over when he caught that ball. You understand what I'm saying? So,
but he caught it, man. Hey, he caught it. Hey, it was a disaster, but he caught it, man. You know what I mean? But that's the type of memories that was on them hard drives and that came out of that office, out of that lab, man. Those are the, you know, priceless stuff that we can't never get back again, man. It's all a memory. You follow what I'm saying? Good memories, though. So, you know, I mean, man, it's okay. It all, you know, it's okay. It'll be okay. Things will be okay. I got to figure it out, man. So, you know, I can't be homeless, though. I can't be homeless and a building burnt. You know what I mean? So I got to figure something out. I got to do something. I got to get back in the game. You know what I mean? I got to find some shared space or something like that where I can at least get a laptop and sit down and get some work done. You understand what I'm saying? So, you know, that's what my new motto probably for the nonprofit is going to be too, to help victims. You know what I mean? I also work with victims of violent crimes, and I'm a victim of violent crime, and I haven't heard from them neither. You know? So, you know, I mean, I'm trying to figure it out, y'all. We're going to figure it out, though. You know,
Hey, Matt, do this here. Make a list of all of those factions that are either were said to be in place to do this or that you think that you could appeal to. Make a list of that, and so we can do a call around. You make a list of that, send that. I'll give you my email, and you send it to me send it around. And send that list, and then we can email that list around and have a call-in to these agencies or to these organizations that are said to be in place to do this, or you think that would, if they're given the opportunity, that they would. I think that's a good idea to make that list, man, because you're reciting a lot of things. You did it earlier. You were talking about all of the places that you've had a good relationship with, and you've probably made sacrifices to make sure that they got their product, right? So you make a list of those people, and then maybe we'll do a call around. We can just do a blur. Put on Facebook, say, hey, these are, if you don't mind, if you don't want to contribute monetarily or put your energy into it in some other way, this is energy you can expend toward helping this brother get his footing, because, you know, it's indeterminate amount of time before he'll get anything from an insurance settlement. And in the meantime, he needs to have some support system to keep him going. How that sound?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Hey, y'all, hey, I'm about to push because I'm over here at the house at the table sitting here talking to y'all. I gotta go meet some people. But, hey, Tim. We're going to continue to push, and we ain't going to stop. We're going to keep this thing going, and we're going to spread the message. We're going to spread the word. We're going to use these communication companies that we have, these platforms that we have, to continue to reach out and touch every person, whether it's good situation or bad situation. But, you know, being the end of the year, I'm in a disposition, but it's okay. 2024 is going to be Hooked on Fishing and MacLab Media's next rising. We're going to rise, and we're going to talk about everything that we've been through. And we're going to lift somebody else's head up when they're down like this. You know what I'm saying? And that's like you were saying, Marvell, everybody don't think the way I do. But, man, I try to look at a positive. You know, I was raised by teachers, man. I was raised by scholars that always told me to stay positive. Anything you go through, keep your head up. And, you know, and bob and weave. You know, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee, man. Keep moving, man, you know. So hopefully, God willing, that something beautiful is going to come out of this situation. We'll be able to tell a story, and you guys can be my witnesses to what happened and how I handled it. Because when you go through it, it's how you handle it. Did you handle it? Because they want you to do some more fucked up shit. They want you to get pulled over and get caught up in some dumb shit. They want that. That ain't how we go out. We ain't going out like that. We gonna shine. You know what I'm saying?
Ashe.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, man. Yeah. Well, have a good day, man. And I'll be checking with Swag, and I'll give you a call when I get over there.
Okay, brother.
All right. Peace. Marvell?
Yes, sir.
I want you to know you had a wonderful show. Mark, I know you're there. I see you're still online.
Yes, sir. Yes,
I just
sir.
Want the people to know. I just want the people to know that's what this show is about, man. Highlighting, because he hadn't been even on 97.5. He called the 97.5 and didn't get a good response. And I know they're doing small business mixers and all that. I just seen an invite to a mixer for small businesses. And so I should have told Mac to show up there. I'm going to call him and tell him, show up to the small business mixer and let them know what happened to you and see what they say up in there in front of all them small businesses and see if they really got you back like they say they do in these mixers, right? Because it's a shame, man. It's a shame. And so we were supposed to be talking about 50 years of hip-hop, 50 years of hip-hop, and what has hip-hop done for the community besides bring a bunch of guns, dope, and death. Oh, you didn't hear what I said. I said 50 years of hip-hop, and what has hip-hop brung to the hood? Nothing but guns, gangs, and death. I can keep going. What does hip-hop brung to the community? A bunch of dope, a bunch of pimping, a bunch of leaning, and death. I can keep going, man. I can keep going. What they didn't bring is a grocery store, a gas station, a bank, a place where we can go get some money for a place like Mac Block place, where you lose your
credit union. Come on, man.
50 years of hip-hop, all the money, they done made trillions of dollars off of hip-hop worldwide. They even got hip-hop
right
on the commercials. They got hip-hop on the commercials now. You hear me?
Yeah.
Cold thing.
Well, you know, the sad part about it, most of them fell off. Most of them lost everything that they got, you know, by floundering it away, you know. So it goes back to, you know, what I said before in the previous podcasts. Chasing that bag, man, will leave you hopeless, broke, and hungry. So we got to do better. We got to do better. We got to help one another out. We are our brother's keeper. And it's going to take all of us to get together and do something, make something happen. And I want Mac Block to be encouraged, because sometimes God uses things like this here to bring people together, cause people to see that this too could happen to them, and where would they be? But like I say, I see something good coming out of this. You're going to be bigger and better. So just stay encouraged, my brother. Peace and blessings.
So hip-hop... You know, I did a little research on the origin of it, and it was kind of like almost a fluke where some guy named Kool Herc did something in his sister's birthday party, and he got creative and all that. That's the origin of it. And then we had those guys, the ones that were doing the really hip-hop because of hip-hop. That's where I think the term came from. But now we're not in a hip-hop era. We're in a hypnotism era. It's not hip-hop. It's hypnotic. Because they use the beat to plant seeds about dissension, destruction, and dehumanization. But the beat, because I was saying this yesterday, that if, because I write poetry, and I understand that I'm reciting poetry. I have to create cadence. I have to create music. I have to create content. I have to be flowery and be saying something, have a message in what I share. But if I got a beat behind me, I can say almost anything, and the subliminal effect of what I'm saying will sink in beneath the beat and with the beat. So they create this music so that they can plant these erroneous seeds, and the people that are behind that know precisely what they're doing. How are you going to pay somebody that type of money and know that they're talking down to the people that they belong to if it wasn't a design? So we're susceptible, and we're responsible to raise our hand and say, like we had the kids in school, when they don't blurt out, just raise your hand, we'll acknowledge you. We need to start raising our hand and ask questions. So wait a minute. 50 years of this, and it started with something that was playful, it started with a little more consciousness about what's going on, and now it's creating a new consciousness, and that consciousness is of destruction and dehumanization of a group of people. So we can't expect them boys, if they groom to denounce their people, we can't expect them to pour into their people with the money that they get for doing it. It's just one of them cycles that we find ourselves looking at. And I'm just hoping that while we're working with our young people in the school system, that we can get an implant of consciousness about not looking at these people as their model, because we see them walking down the street rapping, pretending, you know, faking like it. I don't know if they want to be a rapper or if they just so caught up with the wording and the beat that they just find themselves hypnotized by what they're hearing coming from these artists, so-called artists, right? So it went from that 50 years ago of a social consciousness to a subliminal implant now of destruction and degradation of people who look like you. Help me understand that.
Well, they just found a new weapon. They just found a new weapon to use against us. And like I say, we are the destruction of our own. They have destroyed the minds of our young folk through our own natural gifts. You think back to when Queen Latifah, she made a rap about destruction. We're headed for destruction, and it came to pass. So a lot of these things were talked about, spoke about, just like the song I want Tim to play one of these days, Fight the Power by the Isley Brothers. See, a lot of these songs of old had a great deal of meaning to them, and it opened the eyes to a lot of people. So what they did, I'm going to say I call them bae, they put drugs out there to diminish our mindsets, to take away our thoughtfulness, our hope, and just destroyed us. And we helped do it. And like I say, progress is a mess. We don't see it that way because we're still chasing the bag. But when that bag is no longer there for you to chase, or after you done got that bag and you done lost it that fast, then you realize it. But then it's too little too late. So we got to do better as soon as we can. I mean, we can't take 1 second on this planet for granted, because they is not playing with us. They are serious.
Listening to the Wise Words of One Gone Show, and as Mark requested, we gonna fight the power. want to thank our listeners for listening in, man. I'm going to play a little bit of this, and I'm going to let them end the show. It was a beautiful show. Want to thank Mac Block for calling in. We know he's feeling a certain type of way, but we want to lift our brother up in love, in unity, and in power. We want to empower our brother to be the best he can be at a time where everything is gone up in smokes. It's the Wise Words of One Gone Show. I'm One Gone, and I'm going to get to you like this here. The Isley Brothers, fighting the fire. Don't get to these words, I mean right now. But they're going to allow us 2, 3, 4 minutes to speak out. So, Marvell, go ahead and handle your business.
Yes, sir. Okay, well, then, the business at hand is for us to continue to look at this information that we're sharing and come with more information that will help us to get a little closer to the unity that we deserve to have in order to go forth and be a valuable, let our value collectively be recognized, starting in this country. Thank you very much.
Brother Mark. Brother Mark. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are out of here. We thank you for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Peace.